track with me. I am pulling from several sources, including experience. So first of all, I want to share just a little bit about my experience, my life, my encounter with God as my healer, not just physical, but emotional. I have decided that I'm going to take it slow. So if you guys get tired of this subject, I'm sorry. There is no way that we can speed through this and gain everything that we need to know. And like I mentioned before, this is not just for our sake, but there will be things also that I will talk about and teach about that we could use in the future. I am completely of the belief that every believer needs inner healing. And what inner healing simply is that we have all encountered life. We've all gone through life. There are things that affect us. You know, I went over that a little bit when I was talking about just rejection. There are things that we have encountered in life that have left marks. Unfortunately, sometimes those things encounter us in the way that we respond and in the way that we receive or don't receive people. And so I was reading in a book today, I sent it to Jamie. We have made God in our image when he doesn't like the same people we don't like. I thought that was really true. That was really true. When we have the impression that God doesn't like certain people or he doesn't care about certain people, it's because we don't. And so we've made him in our image. And so here's also what I believe we've done with that too, is that we have kind of swept things under the rug. We kind of overlook certain behaviors that we have because in our hearts and our minds, whether we admit it or not, they are somewhat justified. Whether that is just getting angry or just hating people. Not saying we will never get angry. I'm not saying that at all. But what is it that fuels that anger? And a lot of times, just going to be real with you, a lot of times anger is just rooted in control. We're just angry. We can't control someone. All right? But I want to be very clear. This is something that I will say often because I want there to be clear understanding of this. Through the cross, Jesus has provided the way of victory. He has provided every way for us to walk in victory. There is just some areas in our life we have to submit that to him. We have to choose his healing. The cross is the center and central to our healing. We cannot have healing by self-help books. Cannot do that. There is no healing outside of Jesus Christ. Anything that I identify myself with outside of Jesus is failure. It's impending failure, right? Jesus and the cross is the only thing that will bring me victory. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is forgiveness. The reason why I'm starting there is because if you ever have or ever will come to me for counseling or inner healing and deliverance, that is where we will start. Forgiveness is the utmost importance in healing, in inner healing. So when I was about 19, I had graduated high school. I had gone off to college for one semester. I took a semester off in between college and high school to work. And that semester, I came home during a break and I saw this guy I hadn't seen since I was a little child. I mean, little, 6, 7, 8. I hadn't seen him in forever. And because the kids are in here, I'm going to use some code words, okay? You're going to track with me on that? So I was 19. That night, I was getting ready for bed, and all of these things just started flashing in my head from this person when I was 6 or 7, when I was babysat by him and his older sister. So sitting there, I was like, what is going on? What is going on? And the next day I woke up and I was like, Jesus, what was that? And literally it felt like the entire day I was having memory after memory after memory, and things I had never remembered. Never. When I say I never remembered, I'm telling you, like, there's no way that I had no recollection of it at all. Completely repressed those memories. And so, that actually, it was the summer break. That summer, I found myself feeling very alone. Don't hurt him. He's okay. I saw the eyes. That summer, I felt very alone. I realized what had happened. I wrestled with it. I realized, oh my goodness, he did some things to me. And I didn't remember it. My parents didn't know it. Okay. So during that summer, I was like, okay, first of all, I tell my mom. It's the first person I tell. Of course, you can imagine, I'm 19 years old. This happened when I was, you know, 6, 7, 8. Not sure how many times things happened, because the memories came in such a flood. I have more of an understanding now, but I didn't then. So I, after talking to my mom telling my dad because I didn't want to, I went to my pastor. Actually, it was the next Sunday. I went up to my pastor and asked for prayer. And he looked at me and he said, I want you to know that everything that occurred to you, everything that happened, every word, every action, it was not your fault. And all of a sudden, every emotion that I had repressed slammed me. And so for weeks, the Lord began to do a healing in me, a major healing in me. I go back to school, to college. I get involved in this support group. Man, that was... The counselor, one time we're in this session, and she leans forward and she looks at me. She goes, I'm really afraid of you. And I was like, I don't think you're supposed to tell me that. I'm just saying. But it was because I had learned to live my life in such a way that I was so protected. I'd cut so many emotions off. And she was like, one day that anger is going to come out, and I don't want to be in the room with you. Okay, she was getting paid. I mean, I'm just saying. If anyone should want to be there, it should have been her. So the Lord was very gracious to me. He sent others in my path and to help me through things, not secular at all. But also the Lord began to take that summer. He began to show me emotions that I had forgotten I had even had. And so I went through healing like that. And then there were times when I moved to Bible college and there were people that were teaching this very thing about inner healing and deliverance. And I became very close to one of the ladies of the pastoral care department. And that was because I went all the time for inner healing. And I began to realize, you know, this is me. I'm preparing. This is Bible school. I'm preparing to go into the ministry. And I began to realize that, you know what? If I have these things in my heart, even if it's not abuse that sometimes we would talk about, if I have these things in my heart, so does everyone else. So do people that seem like they have it all together, right? And so I began to get really close to people that taught this, that lived this, that at times would just say, you know what, I feel this when you say this. And so what it would do is it would cause me to be like, okay, Jesus, I want that mess out too, you know. And I am a firm believer because of experience and because of leading people through and having the privilege of doing that. And man, that is the hardest thing. I'm just going to let you know right now. It is the hardest thing to lead people through pain. But on the other side, I know what's coming. I know what's coming. And so I truly believe because of life and because of circumstances that every person has things in our heart that we hide from, that we, I know that I say this a lot, but here's the deal is I know what it's like to be tormented by something and not realize that I was tormented of it until someone says, let me tell you what you're saying behind your words. Let me tell you what you're feeling when you say these words. And so that is why we are so passionate about inner healing and deliverance, and believe that we come as a church, we come to a point where, you know what, we want people to come in the doors with issues and stuff. We want people to come in that need salvation, but we want people to come in with all of their mess. But what do we do with their mess if we're still in ours? We can't help. We don't understand fully what that means. So the first thing that I want to talk about is forgiveness. So we're going to probably, if you would, jot down some scriptures. We're going to go to a few. Excuse me. I do encourage you to take notes, because if it is something that you feel like the Lord would have you do in the future, it is something to keep. I have notes. I have a couple folders of things that I learned, whether it's scratches or whatever. But also, do me this favor. Even this step, don't lead someone through this if you have not done it yourself. Do not do it. Because the thing about the human heart and our perception is it of it, sometimes we don't think your heart is as precious as mine. And so until we come to a place to realize, you know what, Miss Wanda, your heart is as precious as mine is, I don't want your heart to hurt any more than I want my own to hurt, then we don't need to do this. Okay? All right. This is a huge thing that we need to get before we really get into the unforgiveness and forgiveness. Is forgiveness releases a person from bitterness, but it does not necessarily heal the hurt that person caused. Sometimes, do you need me to repeat that? Forgiveness releases a person from bitterness, but not necessarily heal the hurt that person caused. A lot of times we think that if we forgive someone, the pain that they cause will immediately disappear. That's an illusion. You know, here's the thing, is God is amazing and he could do anything he wants to do. But if I find myself in a place where I have said with my mouth, I forgive this person, I forgive this person, I forgive this person, but there's still pain every time I think of them, it does not mean that I have not forgiven them. It just simply means there's still pain from what they did. We're going to hit three areas of forgiveness. Forgiving others. We're going to go to Mark 11:25. You know, I love Rick's testimony of forgiveness. If you guys, I'm sure it's on the website somewhere. I don't know. You guys need to hear that testimony about him and his dad. I know that he brings parts of it up every once in a while, so. All right. that. Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Then to go along with that, Matthew 18:15-17. Matthew 6:14-15 and Matthew 18:15-17. We'll just bring something out very quickly. And we may dive into it a little more, but if you've ever wondered why occasionally there are some times that we find ourselves on a cycle, either we hang out friends, the same kind of friends, friends that hurt us constantly. If you've ever wondered why you do that or you know someone that does that, it's like a cycle. You can see every person in their life is going to hurt them and every person in their life is going to take advantage or whatever it may be. Yes, we talked about that a little bit in rejection, but this will tie us. Bitterness, you need to study the root of bitterness. The root of bitterness, basically, there is nothing that it doesn't touch in our lives. Nothing. Every good thing in our lives is infected if we flow and walk and live and choose bitterness. Everything is affected. Thing with forgiveness, it is a decision. When we choose to forgive someone, as simply as that, it is a decision that we make. We don't have to be led. We don't have to feel the Holy Spirit come upon us. It is a decision. You just decide. Forgiveness is not excusing what someone has done. You know, I believe that is such a lie of the enemy, that he holds us bound in forgiveness, unforgiveness, and bitterness. Because we think that if we forgive someone, we're kind of just sweeping under the rug what they have done. It does not excuse what they've done. A lot of times it's just choosing that we care more about our own heart than we do about what they've done. So, the second area of forgiveness, of course, is God's forgiveness. I'm going to go to, it's repentance. A couple of scriptures, Isaiah 43:28. Jeremiah 31:33-34. And I am going to go to 1 John 1:7. You know, I've discussed this before, how it's, I love this verse. I thought it was 2. It's actually 2:1. So 1 John 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world. We call out to him. That's what Jeremiah says, you call out to me. So he promises we repent, that he will forgive us. See, here's the thing about the unforgiveness is it's not always the fact that it's hard sometimes for us to ask forgiveness. It is hard to receive his forgiveness, right? Would you agree with that? That sometimes when we know what we've done in life, we know when we've messed up in our past and all of those things, we know that it's harder sometimes to ask forgiveness and harder to receive his forgiveness than it is to ask him for it. You know, I read this story a while back about this evangelist who he used to be he had a terrible reputation with women and gambling and drinking, and he was just awful. Anyway, he got saved, and he was living as an evangelist. He would go and he would preach, and he had repented to God for that. So one of his partying buddies sent him a letter and told him that if he saw he was going to be in the meeting, and if he saw him in the pulpit, he was going to let everyone know of everything he had ever done. And he named things in the letter. So the evangelist got up and he read the letter to the congregation. And he was like, you know what? This man is right. I've done this, what he said, and I've done worse. And he said, but I want to let you know that I've repented before God and I receive his forgiveness. And many got saved that night because he just laid it all out there. No, but he received the forgiveness of the Lord. And number three area is forgiving self. This is probably the hardest thing for people to get over. You know, I think it's probably harder for if you've been a Christian and you've fallen away and you've done things that you know were not of God, and then to come back to God, being grateful that you're back, but then forgiving yourself for ever falling away. I think that's one of the hardest things for people to get over, is to get over that that sin, those sins that they did when they were away. So, I just want to talk about this a little bit. I want to talk about forgiving self, right? Let me read this verse first. It's Matthew 22:39. If you would, just write that down. And the second, let me start. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, a lot of times it's hard for us to forgive ourselves about certain things because of self-hatred and because, you know, we're not proud of what we've done. But the funny thing is about that is when we can't forgive ourselves, the number one thing that we're fighting is pride. Pride says our sin is too big. God can't forgive it. So we're thinking that we're bigger, and what we've done is bigger than God. And that's not reality, is it? So sometimes the reason why we have trouble forgiving ourselves is because we're just simply disappointed in ourselves. Disappointed in our actions, disappointed in where we are in life, disappointed in how we responded to things. So, you know, these things are so important to moving forward in inner healing. And it, a lot of times, you know, we will say, and I've heard it, and I've heard it, and I've heard it, and I've done it, where I'll say, you know what, I've forgiven them, and I remember one time I went in to receive prayer and I was like, yeah, I've forgiven them. And she looked at me and she was like, really? And I was like, yeah, I've forgiven them. And she goes, well, let's just ask the Holy Spirit. And I was like, oh, great. We have to get him involved. And I realized, of course, that I truly hadn't. And so it's important that when we're checking our heart, that we don't do it outside of the Holy Spirit. Right? I mean, that's why, like, I encourage you, even if you can right now come up with a list of things that, you know, what you need to forgive yourself for, you need to forgive others for, and that's awesome, and that's good. But here's the thing. As soon as the Holy Spirit steps in to show you things, it's a whole different story. It's not just you sitting there racking your brain of what you need to do. When the Holy Spirit guides you and He directs you, then you know things will happen, and it won't be introspective, you know, just, okay, I feel like I've done this once, so I need to repent for that. And that's one reason why we don't feel like we have to stand up in the pulpit and preach on sin every service. Are we against sin? Of course. But I'd rather you know that you're a child of God and you are bought with a price and that you are made for righteousness, and let the Holy Spirit deal with your heart with sin. Now, are there times when we talk about sin? Of course, there is. But a lot of times we don't have to tell you. You already know. And we let the Holy Spirit do it. Like I said, there are times when we stand up and we'll say that. You know, sometimes that is just ineffective in the sense of, you know what, I can sit here and someone could tell me every sin that I've ever committed, but until the Holy Spirit touches that, I am yet to repent in purity of motive. I will repent out of emotional guilt, and that gets me nowhere. So the same is true of this. You sit before the Lord and you say, okay, God, are there people that I need to forgive? Is one of them you? Do I need to forgive you? You know, that's hard sometimes to grasp, is that we need to forgive God. You know, especially Christians that have been Christians for a long time, we're taught that He is sovereign, which is right. It's biblical. It's who He is. He is sovereign. So we have a lot of questions. Well, why this and why this and why didn't this happen and why didn't you do this? And you know, that's the hardest thing to explain to my children. The hardest thing. And so what happens is sometimes through our questions, not that it is a bad thing to ask, but it is a bad thing to be tormented by it. And so what that does is it begins to grow seeds of resentment toward God. It does. And you know what? It's just like unforgiveness toward anyone else. He knows it's there. He'll deal with it. He'll help you forgive him. Right? But we need to be in a place where we're allowing God, the Holy Spirit, to deal with us. To show us, hey, am I disappointed in myself? Or there's things that I need to forgive myself for. And a lot of times we sit in it and we live in it and don't realize it until we allow the Holy Spirit to do it and we listen. You know? And so this is like the first section. And you know, I want you to realize something in my heart in this, okay? Rick and I, you know, I've expressed to you, but we believe that everyone should go through it. I want you to know is as I'm going through it, I'm being sensitive to God in my own heart and my own life. I do not want any hindrance between me and the Lord. None. Nothing. And the fact is that if we reach a point where we're more focused on that than we are on, I don't want this, I don't want healing, I don't want this, and I don't want to deal with this, I don't want to deal with it. We're more focused on the fact that, Jesus, I just want to be open to you. When you say I have unforgiveness, I'll deal with it. And if I don't hear you say that I have unforgiveness, then let's go on with it. We're not here to dig a hole in you or to manipulate you to think that you have something when nothing is there. That's what I'm saying. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If while I'm teaching something and the Lord brings something up, well, praise God. Let's deal with it and go on. No, it's not about just trying to find something to repent of, to deal with. It's not about that at all. Let's just grow. Let's come into a place where we hear the Holy Spirit, if He's speaking to us about something, but also be careful not to be closed off to it. While we believe that Jesus has provided for us to walk in victory and righteousness, and yes, He has, and I believe it and I choose to walk in it, there are things that I stumble over sometimes, and I don't want those things ever to have influence in my life. So, if you would just stand up, let's pray real quick. You know what? Also, if you have, while teaching and everything, if you have questions or whatever, just jot them down and talk about them, whatever. Jesus, we love you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us victory, that you have provided for us a victorious life. And God, we thank you that you have made us righteous in your eyes. And Lord God, I thank you that you have reconciled us, that you have restored us, you have brought us into relationship with the Father. And Lord, I thank you for that Holy Spirit, that you guide us and you direct us and you show us, Lord, if there's any stumbling blocks in us, Lord, any unforgiveness, God, that we could just get rid of. Lord, I thank you that you remove those things from us, God, as we repent and we choose you and we choose healing, God. I thank you, Lord, that that removes a place for the enemy that he can't mess with anymore. And God, I thank you for that. I thank you, Jesus, that God, you give us authority and you give us power, God. And I thank you, Jesus, that we are not a defeated people. That God, we thank you that you have truly set us free, that it is for freedom that you have set us free, God. And I thank you that, Lord, you are our freedom, and it is only you that brings us freedom. And Jesus, I pray that you invade us. Invade where we're at, God. I thank you for the people here, God, the heart that they have to grow. And Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you continue to do what you love to do. In Jesus' name, amen.